How do you know God's will for your life? How do you know what God wants for you? How do you make decisions on what is right and what is wrong? Today we're beginning a new series that I hope will help answer those questions for you. This is not a series to tell you what you can't do. It's a series to remind us of God's grace and God's love, and we're so thankful that we live by grace and not by the law. The Ten Commandments contain a basic moral code for how we should live. And that's what this series is all about. I believe that our church and our nation need to hear this, because my personal feeling is that our nation has lost its moral compass. Someone has said this: our democracy cannot survive if there is not a moral consensus, because its direction is determined by the majority vote. And if the majority of people don't have sound morals, the country is going to decay. What's that mean? It means we live in a democracy, and the majority decide what is right. And if the majority of people in this nation do not have sound morals, the country can only go one way, and that is down. The Ten Commandments are the foundation on which our entire judicial system has been built. And the Ten Commandments are summed up in the New Testament in two commandments: you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But the question is, why in the world did God give us these commandments anyway? He gave them to us not to hurt us, but to help us, not to restrict us, but to release us. You see, God knew that we needed boundaries and guidelines, because a society without boundaries will soon become dysfunctional and out of control. So I think God, what he's trying to say is this: if you want to live a successful life, this is what you need to remember. If you have your Bibles, turn in the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at the Ten Commandments as I skim over those, God's moral code for his people and for us. Verse 1, Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. Verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Verse 12, honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. See, I believe that God listed these Ten Commandments in priority. And God put the first one first because it's the most important. And if we follow the first one, everything else is going to fall into place. On the other hand, if we miss this first foundational commandment, we're going to have trouble with everything else. And so today, we're going to look at the first of the Ten Commandments, which says this: you shall have no other gods before me. The Message translation says it this way: no other gods, only me. Only worship God. Now notice the supremacy of God. God does not say, you know what, I'm okay with second place or fourth place. No, God gets first place. There is no number two. There is no number 10. There is only one God. In my opinion, America is no longer one nation under a God. We're now a nation that worships many gods. We have a spiritual smorgasbord offered to everyone, from Islam to Hinduism to New Age to Mormonism to Christianity to Judaism, to design your own God. But God said, no, no other gods, only worship me. Wait a minute, what are some of the modern gods that if we're not careful, we give our allegiance to today? Some of us worship horoscopes. So we get up every morning and we open the paper to read our favorite horoscope to find out how our day is supposed to go. Some people today worship and consult psychics. Deuteronomy chapter 18 says, "Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritualist or one who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." Some of us in our culture today worship celebrities. It's amazing to me how we buy magazines, we watch, we get so uptight, and hero worship of sports heroes, of movie stars, even of reality shows today. I mean, we have reality shows all the way from Kardashians to Swamp People. Come to think about it, that's not so far apart, is it? Oh, I'll get some feedback on that one. Hang in there, all right? Some of us, if we're not careful, we worship sports teams. And if we're not careful, we would miss church to attend a game. Or we get excited about our sports team and we would never show the same excitement in our worship of Jesus Christ. Or some people worship the earth or the environment or their pets. But do you know, I believe the most common God that you and I tend to worship today, and that's self. We disregard God's authority in our lives, and we determine right and wrong by what makes us feel good or what makes us happy. We do whatever we please. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man. It may feel good, but in the end, it leads to death. And so God is saying to us, for your own good, I love you. Don't put other gods before me. I'm talking today to some very, very busy people on both campuses. And I know that you are busy. There are many things vying for your time, for your money, and for your attention. How in the world do you know what to put first? How do you live by priorities instead of pressure? Stephen Covey tells the story in his book about a teacher that was doing an illustration for the class. And so what she did, she went out and got a 10-gallon bucket and she filled it full in rocks about the size of your fist. And she filled it up and she said, is it full? And the student said, yeah, it's full. And she said, no, it's not. And she went out and got a bucket of sand and she poured it on top of all the rocks and it went through everything. And she said, now is it full? And they said, yeah, it's full. And she said, not yet. And she went and got a bucket of water and poured it over the rocks and over the sand and it filled all the way up. And then she asked the students this question. She says, what can we learn? What is the lesson to be learned from this? And one student said, well, the lesson is you can always pour more into your life than you think you can. Isn't that the American answer today? Let's just cram more into an already hectic schedule. And she said, no, the lesson is not you need to put more into your life. The lesson is you got to put the big rocks in first. Because if you don't put the big rocks in first, those are what? The priorities of our life. It will get overwhelmed and filled up with everything else. How do you learn to live by priorities? Let's look today practically in some areas. How do we put God first? And I'm going to look at five areas where I think all of us struggle with putting God first. We're going to take the acrostic first. F stands for finances. Give him the first dime of every dollar. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits, circle first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Now, take a deep breath and relax. We're not going to do a series on giving. We just had one of those, all right? So I'm not going to preach 30 minutes on giving, but this is an area that we want to talk about. We just finished a series entitled The Blessed Life, and we learned the principle of what? The principle of first. God gets the first of everything. And so God gets the first of our finances, which is evidence that we're going to put our trust in Him. The minimum, not the end, the beginning standard of giving to God is the tithe, which means 10%. And if you're a tither, you know this is true. 90% with God goes farther than 100% without God. Now, God knew that the whole idea of finances was one of the most difficult tests we would have in putting Him first. That's why the Bible talks so much about generosity and giving. We're reminded we don't give to get. We give because we have been blessed by Almighty God. So I want to ask you, are you willing to put God first in your finances? I stands for interest. Give Him the first priority in every decision. That means as you make decisions about your career, your hobbies, your recreation, your relaxation, even your worship, What decisions are you making? Is he first? Proverbs says, in everything you do, circle the word everything. Because we tend to what? Want to pick and choose where we put God first. And he says, no, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. So, you tell me what's first in your life, and I'll tell you by how you spend your money, by what you get excited about, and what you give your time to. Isn't it interesting that you can go and get excited about a sports team? You can get excited about a musical group, and you're called what? A fan. And yet you get excited about Jesus, and you're called what? A fanatic. Isn't it interesting? Moms and dads, I believe this is one area where you can really make a difference with your children. Because you are modeling for them by your interests and your priorities what is important on a daily basis. Because as a parent and grandparent, every one of us knows, and raising kids, it's not what you say, it is what you do. And you never know what's going to happen. A woman was trying hard to get the ketchup out of the bottle, and during her struggle, the phone rang. So she asked her 4-year-old daughter, would you please answer the phone? And to her surprise, she heard her 4-year-old daughter say, I'm sorry, my mom can't come to the phone right now. She's hitting the bottle. It would be a death in the family, wouldn't there? Modeling. My parents did some things wrong. But my mom and dad did one thing really right, and that's why I think all of their kids, all my brothers and sisters, are serving the Lord, and all the way down to the third and fourth generation, they modeled putting God first. They served in the church. My mother played the piano every Sunday for probably 50-some years. This is probably stretching it. I can't remember in 18 years growing up in that church that I missed. I can't even remember missing 5 times. Now, it's not because I was perfect, it's because what? That was a priority of my mom and dad. And no matter whether the chores were done, no matter whether we spent the night at friends, whatever it was, there was always a standard, no argument, no discussion. We will be in church every week, and they modeled that. I didn't have television until I was in high school. And I remember my dad sitting in the chair reading his Bible almost every night when I would go to bed. Those things are profound images where they didn't tell us what to do. They led by example. Listen, for many of us, if we're not careful in today's culture, we worship our work. We worship our work. We play at our worship. And we work at our play. And that's living by the wrong priorities. You say, what do you mean we worship our work? We're obsessed with our career and making money. We play at our worship. It's optional. We're here every week unless there's something else that we want to do. And we work at our play. We think of all kinds of creative opportunities to literally wear ourselves out so that we can play and entertain ourselves. Listen, put God first in every decision, because you either live by pressure, which will stress you out, you'll live by pleasure, which will wear you out, or you will live by priorities. Are you willing to put God first in every decision that you make? R stands for relationships. Give God first place in every relationship. You see, if you want to keep God first in your life, you're going to have to choose your life mate and your friendships very carefully. This again was poured into my mind growing up. The Bible puts it this way: do not be yoked together with unbelievers. It's talking there about marriage. And he talks about the danger of people that get together to share their life together, but they don't share the same life value of putting God first. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? It's a believer and a non-believer. It can even be a casual Christian and a committed Christian. Because a committed Christian wants to put God first, a casual Christian makes God an option. It is even people of different religious faiths or beliefs. You don't believe me? That's unequally yoked. When you come together and have the first child, you will find out the pressure and stress that puts on a relationship. I want to say, if you're a mom and dad that are equally yoked in God and you put God first, you give your kids a head start in life. Also got to be careful who chooses our closest friendships. for the things that we share with others on Facebook. Proverbs 27 says, what a person is really like is shown by the kinds of friends he chooses. Why is that so important? Because either you change your friends or your friends change you. You become like the people you spend the most time with. So do you hang out with casual believers or committed believers? Do you hang out with people that put Christ first, or do they put themselves first? Because you can read leadership book after leadership book and you will find this principle: the people closest to you will determine your level of success. It could be your immediate family. It could be your transformation group. It could be people that mentor you in the marketplace. Whatever it is, you will find that there's significant people, usually less than a half a dozen, that you have let very close to you that determine your level of success. So I want to ask you, are the people closest to you building you up or tearing you down? Are there friends that you need to get rid of so that you can go to the next level? Are there friends that your teenagers have that you need to say, whoa, you're running with the wrong crowd, we need to make some changes? Put God first in your relationships. Are you willing to put God before your marriage, before your kids, before your boss, before your friends? My opinion today, I love kids, but I think a major problem in our culture is we worship kids today, and we have too many kid-centered families. And if we are going to put God first, God has to be your first relationship. You know why? Because only God can meet your deepest needs. There's nobody, no other relationship you have that can meet all your needs. I can't meet my wife's needs. I can't even meet my needs. All right? Only God. That's why you got to put Him first. S stands for schedule. Give Him the first minutes of every day. The Bible says very early in the morning. Circle very early. Very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. That's what we're talking about. That's living by priorities instead of living by pressure. Never get so busy that you forget God. Notice again the principle of first. Jesus gave God the first part of every day. Shooting straight. I don't always do that. Because sometimes I convince myself that if I'm involved in appointments early or I'm doing ministry early, that I'm still connecting with God. That's not true. I'm connecting with ministry. I'm not connecting with God first. The principle of first. You give God the best of the day, the last time of the day, or no time of the day. Bible says be very careful how you live. Why? Because you got to make the most of every opportunity. How do you do that? Continually review your schedule. I do this with my assistant all the time. I do this with my wife all the time. We have to sit down and look at our schedule. Why? Because if you're not careful, your schedule does not match your priorities. What do you do if your schedule doesn't match your priorities? You have to continually remove the things that keep God from being first in your life. Because for most of us, we're not bad people. We're just settling for second best. The good is the enemy of the best. And we drop God to another level so that we can do what we want to do. Are you willing to go back and look at your schedule, your calendar, and say, whoa, what do I need to change so that God would be first? And the one thing I would say, make sure God is first in worship every week, no matter what else happens. Number five, T stands for troubles. Give Him the first call when you have a problem. When you face unexpected problems and pressures, you see, when things are going good, we're okay. But when we face those unexpected problems and pressures, what do? You talk to yourself? You talk to your friends? Or do you talk to God? God wants us to talk to Him when we have a problem. Listen to what He says in Psalm 50. Call upon me. Circle the word me. That's God. Call upon God in the day of trouble, He says, and I will deliver you and you will honor me. God says, trust me and stop worrying about everything. You see, you know that God is first in your life when you stop worrying. I believe worrying is a warning light that something's going on and God's not first in my life at that moment. Now, listen carefully, because I guarantee on both campuses we got a lot of worriers. And you're saying, wait a minute, Pastor Don, are you telling me that you don't worry? And I can honestly say I worry very little. You know why? I have determined in the course of my life that worry is wasted energy. That's why I don't worry. Because if I can do something about it, I'm going to get in there and do it. And if I can't, I'm going to let it go. But to worry is simply wasted energy. You know another reason I know when I worry? It attacks me immediately right here. I can feel it in my stomach. The worry and the stress, bingo. And I know, time out, I have got to deal with this right now. How do you stop worrying? For me, it's pretty simple. You got to decide, am I going to live by pressure or am I going to live by priorities? You say, well, Pastor Don, do you have any pressure? Absolutely. Trying to lead a church of over 50,000 people that call CCV home, that's pressure. Trying to be available when everybody or many people want to get on my schedule to see me and I can't see everybody, that's pressure. Trying to make people happy when I can't make them happy, that's pressure. Trying to find balance in my life, I've got all kinds of pressure. You say, how do you deal with it? Because you got to live with priorities. And you say, well, do you have priorities? Absolutely. You know my priorities. I've told you. My priority in life is to go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can. Consequently, when I look at my schedule, I say, how can I reach the lost and advance His kingdom? Because you see, if you don't have priorities, the pressure increases. But once you have priorities, it minimizes the pressure. And so you got to decide, am I going to live for your priorities or my priorities or His priorities? When I stand on the day of judgment, I'm going to face Him. And He's going to say to me, hey, what did you do, buddy, with that one life that I gave you? And so that's why, for me, it's pretty simple. I know I can't please everybody, and it's all I got to do to please the one who loved me and gave His life for me. And if you do that, it's going to help with the stress. Matthew 6 says what? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. He told us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. What's He talking about? That's the chapter on worry. And He says if you put God first, He'll take care of the clothes, the food, all that, because He'll take care of the birds and the flowers. Surely will He not take care of us? You see, when you put God and His kingdom first, what happens? You take a step back and a deep breath, and God will help you prioritize the rest of your life. So Moses had been up on the mountain with God for 40 days. He returned with the Ten Commandments, and he found the people having a party and worshiping a golden calf they had made with their own hands. And Moses, their leader, was devastated and angry. Why was he so upset? Because he had seen them time and time again, and here they did it again. They stopped putting God first. And he knew that if God's people stopped worshiping God first and they went after other things in place of God, they would eventually destroy themselves as a nation. And I believe in this country, if we don't change our priorities, the same thing will happen to us. You see, anything that takes top priority in your life over God is the wrong priority. And that's why God said, you shall have no other gods before me. Only worship God. You see, if we miss the first commandment, you'll have trouble following the other nine. Because this first commandment establishes the priority for every other relationship that we have in our life. That's why God says, I got to be first. So here's the takeaway. I want to ask you this question. What is the primary obsession in your life? What is your primary obsession in life? You say obsession, that's a pretty strong word. What is it that consumes most of your time, your thoughts, your energy, and your money? Is it working out hour every day? Is it video games? Is it Facebook or texting? Is it TV and ESPN? Is it your children? Is it your career? What is it? Listen carefully. These things I have just mentioned are not wrong in themselves, but they get us off target when we give them our number one priority and allegiance. And God in heaven is looking down on His children and He is saying to us today, hey, what about me. I want to be first. In everything you do, put God first, and He will crown your efforts with success. Let's pray. Dear God, today, forgive us for allowing pressure to overshadow priorities. Forgive us for trying to keep up with everybody else. And as we do that, we end up chasing after their values instead of your values. God, we acknowledge that we've allowed some other things to consume us with our energy, with our time, and with our money, and we slowly have made the worship of you an option. And maybe, God, that's the reason we're stressed out and we're worried and we struggle, because we're not living the way you designed your people to live. I pray for every person on both campuses, for every family, for every marriage, for every friendship, that we as a church would make some changes so that you can be first. Because that's the only way we're going to change our communities, our schools, this city, and this nation. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Forgive us, and may we seek you with all of our heart. In your name we pray. Amen.